extend the invitation to her just to meet with the Patella student. Unfortunately, the students say to me, when you send them the invitation to the wrong person, I'm not the right person you should be sending this to. I only learned from who you saw at a later stage.
Sure, 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 sure. You know, the type of explanation I'm looking for, why you're wasting time. I think it's not a good moment of wasting the community. Mm. It's no excuse for payment to have contacted you in no time. They're still in committee session to get a sense of how they operate. And most of all, I want to understand, don't we anymore send letters directed by yourself, Chairperson, because Ben is supposed to communicate with you to get an indication of how the invitation is supposed to go about. And you normally just can't sign a letter in writing that will be sent to the departments or whoever relevant entity needs to talk to. It's not a new process.
Yeah, no. The reason why I said he must just explain was for us to get a sense, because these mistakes are impacting negatively on the work of the committee. Now, at first it was the issue of the handover, and which we raised with his manager, Mr. Mteto, who then promised that he would sort things out. We took it that after that interaction, there was then a proper handover between you and Maltak. Because whatever problems that you are confronting at the committee section, they impact negatively on the work of the committee. And our program must always be changed from time to time because of these kinds of mistakes. And I think, members, it's up to you really in terms of what will be the way forward, because it would seem that our work is being undermined seriously. So you can then give us a way forward on the matter. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I don't know this, how long this is going to take, because it seems as if since we changed secretaries, we're experiencing problems after problems. And I really don't know if Hululu was here, Hululu was going to ask whether the trip to Australia is happening or not, which I'm convinced is not going to happen. I don't think we can go on like this. Not any longer to this. I think as a committee we need to find something else that will have to keep us going. Otherwise, we are going to be seen as failures. We are failing entities, we are failing parliament, and we'll be seen as failures. Something that never happened in this committee. I don't think we can take it any longer. Not anymore. That's.
Chair, I'd like to find out what processes do we need to follow in terms of assessing a vote of no confidence in the Secretariat of Committee Section, so that our problem can be resolved sooner. And secondly, I think we should perhaps continue with our work with the day, and the committee remains after that without necessarily having to involve the department. I'm suggesting the chair follow processes in relation to what needs to be done in a vote of no confidence in the Secretariat. Secondly, that you do not necessarily affect the committee, the entity, geosciences and intake that are coming to talk to us today, that we remain in the committee after this and finalize the meeting.
That sounds fair.
Let's
follow that. Council for Geosciences, would you introduce yourselves and speak to us, please? Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, good morning. My name is Hisham Abada. I'm a relatively new board member on the Council for Geoscience. Mr. Ngwep has asked me to please apologize on his behalf. Unfortunately, he's otherwise engaged. So he's asked me to stand in for him here. And while I'm on the apologies, also I would like to apologize that we don't have a full team, executive team here, but they're busy with board committee meetings in preparation for the board meeting, unfortunately. Chair, I'd like to thank you for giving us an opportunity to present the strategic plan for 2012-2013. And what I'll do is I'll introduce the team. On my left is the acting CEO, Mr. Gerard Graham. On my right, we've got the Corporate Services Executive Manager, Ms. Monica Magoza, and the Applied Geoscience Executive Manager, Mr. Fatuani Ramakwede. Chair, I'll hand over to Mr. Graham to actually present the strategic plan for the Council of Geoscience. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, members. And again, thank you for the opportunity to present the Council for Geoscience's strategic plan for this present year. The structure of the presentation is I think similar to what we've used in the past, is to just do a very quick review of the goals of the organization, our vision, mission, value statements, the mandate that we operate under, and then we get to the strategy, and of course the budget that should support the strategy of the organization. We will look at our performance objectives and the targets going forward this year and also the following years. We will highlight some of the key programs that we have, the projects within these programs, and we will end up by talking, of course, about a very important element of the organization, and that is human capital. The five-year goals within the CGS, I think this year we sort of moved them around a little bit, and we're starting off with employees viewing the CGS as an attractive career opportunity. It is a very difficult market for obtaining the staff that we require within geoscience, and also to not just to recruit the correct staff, but also the training element, and retaining the staff that we do have. And in recognition of this, there are various activities that the CGS is embarking on this year to address this. In particular, we're looking at career opportunities within the organization. We're looking at a career path development. We're expanding again our bursary program. We're allowing staff to embark on as our own staff on part-time studies, etc. The CGS is responsive to the development needs of the country and is recognized among global leaders in the geological field because of its commitment to excellence. It is a statement that I have made here before. The organization is very well known internationally. We have a reputation as a mapping entity in that we have had many large international projects in the past. We at some point found it slightly more difficult to establish ourselves within South Africa, and for the last few years we've addressed this quite aggressively. And I believe that the CGS is now at a position where when we talk about national projects, significant development that's taking place in South Africa, that we are part of it. And also this year, as when I come to it, you will
And then, of course, the organization must remain financially viable. We have embarked on a particular financial model, and we will continue with that. We have to be robust in adjusting ourselves as the needs change around us. And in terms of that, this year, we have already started with a process in which we will look at repositioning the organization and, where necessary, restructuring the organization so that we can deliver on our mandate. As I've said earlier, the organization is very well known as a geological mapping organization. That's what the organization was initially, in fact, this year we are 100 years old, and the organization, in fact, started here in Cape Town 100 years ago, and we will be celebrating our centenary. But at the same time, it will be, I think, the right time to recognize that we're probably leaving the old organization behind now, as you will see soon, that we have mapped South Africa already to some extent in detail. But that right now there are other needs in South Africa, and it's needs that we also see globally, which the organization will have to respond to. And I believe that about 6-7 years ago, when we decided on this vision and mission statements of leading earth science solutions, in other words, let's move away from just gathering information, but let's use that information to provide solutions to geoscientific problems in the country, also globally, and that was the right route that the organization took. And in particular, of course, there's a lot of debate that we see virtually every day, also in the media, about issues related to environmental problems that we see and foresee, and the organization must play a role in taking the necessary steps to also be part of finding solutions for some of the problems and challenges we currently experience. The values of the organization, we tend to advertise this quite widely. We put it up on the walls and in the building. We use it in our lifts. And this is to establish this idea of teamwork within the organization, that whatever we embark on, that we have to deliver quality work, that our performance have to be recognized as a high standing. And with that, of course, is also the process that we're currently busy with, and that is to work on ISO certification for the organization and accreditation for our laboratories. And then again, the value of that we need to engender trust and respect amongst our staff, between different levels within the organization, and long term, that we need to invest in the people of the Council for Geoscience. The mandate is, as it is captured in the Act of 1993, and I will not necessarily run through that item by item, but maybe to say that, of course, as the honourable members will be aware, that the President signed the Amendment Act into law in December 2010, and we are now in a process where we will move from the 1993 Act to the Amendment Act. It has been submitted to the Presidency, and I think the date now for proclamation would be the 1st of July, unless the Department communicates differently to us. Apart from the, and of course, the mandate as such is not changing. The mandate is expanding in the new Act, and I will briefly talk about that. But essentially, in terms of gathering information, whether it's onshore or offshore, to curate that information, to turn it into geoscientific knowledge, to manage facilities on behalf of the country, and that all remains. It's still intact, and we will continue with that. But what we will add through the Amendment Act, of course, is for the organization to become a June Hazard Advisory body to government. That through the work that we've been doing for many years, that this has become a more legal framework through which we will be advising government and government entities, that we can then make certain decisions, in particular around development on the Dolomitica, and that where these decisions that will be made within the organization, where industry disagrees, that we will bring an appeals committee into existence that can listen in to any disagreements that may arise with this process. The organization will also now formally be charged with gathering and curating all other information that is collected through exploration programs, through scientific and geological data. Through exploration programs, we will be gathering data from all the deep mines in South Africa, in particular the gold and platinum mines. This data will be curated, and it will be a fairly extensive charge that we would have to adhere to in terms of the amount of data that we will be curating from here on once the act has been proclaimed. And then, of course, what is also very important is the data center that we will have to establish, and through this data center, it will become a lot easier for exploration companies and the public at large to have access to information going back to even the 1940s that we have within the organization. Apart from the mandate that we have through our Act, we also, of course, get mandates through other vehicles. Such here that I've highlighted is the medium-term strategic framework of government, and in particular what we'll be doing here and what we've been doing for some time is to work in our annual technical program, make sure that we have particular projects that address development, the developmental needs within South Africa, and in terms of the stakeholders declaration, in particular the areas that CGS will play a role in that. Also research and development. I think few people always recognize that even a fairly small mapping program involves a fair amount of research that has to be done within the organization, and we will continue with that. The same with the ground challenges of TSD. We have in the past will continue to do so, play a role in global change. We have projects that address in particular certain aspects of what we're experiencing and expect to experience in terms of climate change in South Africa. And of course, geology is the record that we have going back to many millions of years to actually study, to see what has been in the past, what has happened when certain changes in the climate and the weather occur. For instance, we look at sea level changes and fossil records also provide us with insight into what has happened in the past. We also use another part of the grand challenges of DSD, space science, in which we use data that is collected through satellites, remote sense data. And we look at the innovative ways of using that data in addressing, for instance, geohazards, the risks that we know that as a country we are exposed to through geological hazards. If we look at the strategic planning process, I should perhaps mention and remind the members of the committee that the CGS has had particular challenges in terms of its finances since about 2009, and that in particular last year prompted the board of the CGS to change the planning process slightly. The board had its own meetings in which to discuss the way forward, and then provided clear direction and directives to the management of the organization for a follow-up management workshop, which is held in June, 23rd and 24th of June. And then through that process, the board approved the CGS strategic performance plans the 17th of November last year. And the 1st of March this year, we received ministerial approval in terms of our 5-year strategic plan and also the annual performance plan for the organization. In terms of using the national imperatives, I should rather say adhering to national imperatives, getting a bit closer now to the strategy that we have for this year. this is in a way that the CGS has changed this now to something that we can address within the organization in terms of speeding up economic growth, rural development, increasing innovation, skills development, expediting transformation, development of Africa, and addressing stakeholder needs and regulatory requirements. If I can highlight maybe a couple of these, in particular, economic growth, the question could perhaps be asked, what can the CGS, as a fairly small organization, do in speeding up economic growth in the country? But again, I think the committee is aware that we have over some time through the medium-term expenditure framework process been knocking on the door to make government aware that although there may be a general belief out there that all the large deposits in the country have been found, have been exploited right now, but actually there are vast areas in South Africa that have been until now underexploited. That the techniques have changed, that we have access now to modern means of gathering data and interpreting that data to which we can detect previously unknown deposits, for instance. And these may not be the size that the larger mining industry will be interested in, but it will certainly be in the sort of extent where the smaller companies can come in and even at a small scale level make a living out of exploiting these deposits. What has had quite a significant effect now in the planning for this 2012-13 financial year, of course, is that through the MTE process, the CGS was awarded $200 million from the economic competitiveness package over 3 years, and $145 million of that will be spent on target generation. And target generation in this sense is now defined slightly different. It's not just gathering the information across South Africa, but apart from that, of course, we will continue to do that through different programs, but we will also focus on particular areas within South Africa, areas that maybe in the past were of less interest because there was some belief that it is not economically viable to explore those areas. But of course, the economy is changing, and what was previously not necessarily viable to mine may in future become quite a lucrative opportunity. And when we get to that, I will, if you allow me, ask my colleague, Mr. Ramakwena, to just briefly talk about that. in terms of skills development, I think it's an issue that stays within the organization. It's been with us for many years. It will continue to be with us. We've made many plans. We've continued, for instance, with our field school, the geological field school, and it's an area in which we really have to promote to our staff the need to further their education. We really want to see that over time all the staff, the scientific staff that we have with BSc honors degrees, will aim to get master's degrees, and PhD is in geoscience, but also at all levels within the organization, with its support functions, with its administrative functions. We really want to make it easier for our staff to develop themselves. And then, of course, as I've said, we want to expand our bursary program. We've already started doing so this year. We had to curtail the program quite dramatically during the time of the financial downturn that we experienced in the organization. And we are fortunately now in a position where we can start raising the levels again of, in particular, the number of students that we support. We continue to play a role in Africa. We continue to take on projects in Africa in various countries. And maybe the last comment I would like to make about expediting transformation. I mentioned our bursars. The CGS's strategy has always been to also continue with the transformation process by using our bursars as the main pipeline into the organization. This got seriously hampered for since 2009, when it was very difficult for the organization to expand, for instance, on its salary package, or salary bill, I should rather call it, and we stopped employing our bursars. So those that finished their degrees were allowed to seek employment elsewhere, because the CGS at the time could not afford employ, in particular 2009-2010, to employ all our bursars. But again, this is a situation that we believe we can now turn around. And from this year, as I said, we've probably more than doubled the number of bursars that we have. We will now again continue to employ most of our bursars that finish. Our strategic objectives, these are arranged into essentially four perspectives. It's the four main areas that we address within the organization. It's the financial or the economic health of the organization. It is the systems, the regulations that we need to adhere to. It is our staff, our people. It's improving the lives of the staff within the organization. And these four perspectives in total have 11 strategic objectives. And what is, of course, the new for this financial year that we have added, apart now from what I've already spoken about, the stakeholder needs, promote the CGS, disseminate strategic information to the public, the geoscience amendment bill. It's definitely from here on a focus again. We already last year approached National Treasury for funding to implement the Amendment Act. Unfortunately, we were not successful, but it just means that process will continue this year. We will relook at our business plan in terms of how we're going to implement the Geoscience Amendment Act. Expanding on the scope of the extended scope of our mandate. We have, towards the end of last year, developed regulations to implement the Act. And I believe that as an organization, we are ready. We just, at this stage, need to obtain the funding to continue with this responsibility. Preferential procurement, it's also been part of our strategy for several years and continue to be. I think in February when we were here, I mentioned the particular challenges that we have around this and some of the measures that we are taking. For instance, we have centralized some of our procurement processes within procurement, and we will be looking at also getting other mechanisms into place. The challenge that we have mostly is that, in particular, the larger procurement that we do within the organization quite often is on equipment that is not manufactured in South Africa, that we have to import it, and often it is not even possible to find an agent in South Africa to work through, and the CGS can have to go directly outside of the country to do its procurement. But as I've mentioned, that we have particular plans in place, and that we will continue this year to put more emphasis on the procurement process within the organization. The revenue streams, we've made a decision already a couple of years ago, because we saw when the economic downturn happened, where we were mostly relying on international work to make up the money that we need for keeping the organization healthy, that the moment that international work diminished, the organization was in financial trouble, and we realized the need to expand so that we have a better distribution in terms of income for international projects and national projects. And in fact, over the last 2 years, there's been quite a shift away from the reliance on international projects, where at this stage most of the emphasis is on national projects. And we have adopted the strategy where the aim is to, in any particular one year, to obtain an international project of a value around 5 million. CGS can do that, and at the same time expand on its national program, then our business model of roughly statutory to commercial income 60-40 in terms of a ratio will see the organization through difficult times in the future as well. Some of the key challenges that we would like to highlight, and maybe while I do that, I can also immediately recognize where in the recent few months, some instances, only a couple of months, that we've had some movement, insufficient resources. This was certainly at the time when the strategy was compiled, the final document in November last year, was at the time when CGS became aware that there was no additional funding coming into the organization through the NDEF process, and we were rather concerned also in terms that we could not implement the Geoscience Amendment Act. But as I said earlier, since then we've been awarded this 200 million over the next 3 years. And it will, of course, have quite a dramatic effect within the organization. It is not just the direct funding that will have an effect, but also the work that will be done within the CGS. The funding is substantial. It will allow the organization to involve many of its business units. It will cover the direct costs of these projects that we will have under the target generation program, and at the same time it will release money that we in the past would have had to take from the overall pot of money that we have put into the annual technical program. It will release that money because the problem that has gradually been growing on us is that the baseline funding is not substantial enough to cover the salary bill and the entire annual technical program. That's why in the past we adopted this model of doing commercial work, because we also need the income from the commercial projects to help drive our annual technical program. But now with the NTEF funding, we will have the luxury to release some of the money that we allocated into the annual technical program, and this is money that can now be used to, for instance, do some really needed maintenance on equipment in certain areas. We can now, after several years, look at replacing some very old equipment. You see the second bullet, aging infrastructure. I have mentioned this before, that in some instances we have equipment that is 30-35 years old, and we need to start replacing all of this. Also, the fleet of vehicles that we have, the CGS, is an organization that, of course, rely heavily on its 4x4 fleet, because our staff need to get into the field, and this fleet has become also a bit old, and some of the vehicles have got high mileage on them, and we now can start replacing these vehicles. I've mentioned the strategy around the transformation within the organization, and we will continue to do so in terms of bringing young scientists within, bringing young scientists into the organization, and assign them to senior scientists that can mentor them over the next few years. The budget that we currently have, and of course this budget is now different from what one would see in our annual performance plan, because the information around the MDEF allocation came after we submitted that, and this is an adjusted budget that covers the period from 2012-13 up to 2014-15. And if I can, for instance, point out the very first line in terms of government grant, if I can go to the next slide, and there it's the effect of the additional funding that is coming into the organization through the Derelict Onerous Mines project, that is also coming through the medium term expenditure framework. That's 20 million a year as from this year. Then there's the additional funding, the stimulation of investment in the mineral sector through the economic competitiveness package. That is distributed as 30 million this year, 50 million the year after, and 65 million in the outer year. Then there's also from the very same allocation that we received, there's money, 10 million in this financial year, to address the very problem that I mentioned earlier, to do maintenance on the laboratory infrastructure that we have, and also on our building. I think honorable members will be aware that in the past we showed pictures of how the, in particular, the northern wing of our laboratory block was busy falling apart, and this money can now be used to demolish the link bridge that has essentially collapsed, and to make the safe for our staff. But going back to the budget for this period, as always, we have to file the budget as zero bottom line. The main reason, of course, is when we do get an additional allocation like the 30 million for this financial year, it also implies by default that the direct costs within the organization will increase, because we now have much larger projects that we will be spending our time on, and a lot of this will be with large numbers of staff in the field, and also gathering data out in the field through whether it's airborne programs, geophysical or geochemical airborne programs. So the cost will increase. As one would see, the equipment that we don't make any large provisions yet for replacing equipment, but we will certainly in this year now look at a more realistic program of replacing old and aging equipment within the CGS. So for this year, our projected personnel cost is at 140 million. We have earmarked 1.9 million for bursars. This is money that we will be spending at the universities where CGS bursar holders will be. The estimated cost to run our commercial projects will be 32 2.6 million. That money is linked to under income. If one would look at sales and contracts, that's 72.6 million. That is the expected income for this financial year from commercial work, both national and international. And the budgeted expenditure to perform that work is sitting at 32.6. And then the rest of the operating costs, others, that will be within the statutory program, the overheads within the organization is at, it's budgeted at 110.4 million. What I could also just highlight is on the sales and contracts, our commercial work, we have received a directive from the board of the organization that we need to grow our commercial income by approximately 10% a year. So in 11-12, the target was 66 million, so 72.6 is purely the 10% that we've now added on the previous financial year, and we continue to do so in the after years as well. I could perhaps mention that in 2011-12, the target of 66 million, CGS since December had a particularly good period. We were awarded projects, for instance, in Namibia and Rwanda, and that still falls under our strategy of involvement in Africa, that's for the good of Africa and African countries, in particular, of course, the areas where the World Bank and the EU come in to fund particular projects. So since December, we have not just expanded the number of commercial projects that we have, but the income also dramatically increased, so that the target that we had of 66 million is, we now know that we've exceeded that, and we're probably going to be closer to about 80 million in terms of commercial income for 2011-12. So overall, really the financial challenges that we've had and cost-cutting measures that we had to implement since September 2009 to ensure that the organization survived, and it's a long-term sustain, that we can sustain the organization in the long term, seem to have worked, and we are now in an area again where financially the organization is in a much better position. If we look at the targets, our key performance areas and indexes that we use, if we look at financial growth, again, the revenue for this year, and of course this now comes from the budget that I've just had up on the screen, it's 296.5 million. To maybe give honorable members indication here is the organization can fairly comfortably continue with its work at a budget of around 250 to 260 million. In the past used to be the sort of budget and funding that would allow the organization to really comfortably do its work. With the current commercial work that we have, with the allocations, the additional allocations that we have received through the National Treasury, through the national projects that we are doing through the Department of Mineral Resources, this money, this funding is now increasing quite drastically. This year, 296. Then we, 2013-14, we're planning around 343, and that goes up to 382 million. 2014-15. And hence also the statement that I made earlier, we are now at a stage where we need to look at repositioning these CGS, and we need to restructure where necessary, so that the organization, the structure of the organization, is aligned for delivering on these new targets that we are setting ourselves.
Can we ask that we pick up a bit of the speed? Because when I look at the documentation before us, we are still far. And the danger is that we may not have sufficient time to engage you with the presentation that you should have presented. So let's ask that, let's pick up a bit of the speed on the presentation. Thank you.
Right, Chair. I'll move on, because the rest of, in terms of the financial targets, as you will see, many of these are calculations then in terms of ratios to assess the efficiency within the organization. One area that, of course, we monitor is our satisfaction of our customers, and we will continue to keep that, or aim to keep that, at the level of 85%. We will continue, if I can just highlight a few of these items, our involvement in regional projects in Africa, and then we also would hope to grow that modestly over the next 3 years. We've just embarked on environmental related projects, and hence that is a target that we set ourselves to over time also increase the number of projects that we have in the field of environmental geoscience. We hope to this year complete our ISO implementation, and hence that 100% will be overall for the organization and for the laboratory within the CGS. I've spoken about the implementation of the Geoscience Amendment Act, and we will start setting targets again once we know that we're in a position to start the implementation process. And our procurement, provincial procurement level is currently set at 40%. Our staff turnover, we are currently at approximately -2%. That means there's a slight outflow of staff. We hope to correct this to at least keep the staffing levels at zero, meaning that as we use staff, we'll continue to recruit them. We want to increase the percentage of scientists within the organization. We believe we are a little bit low, around about 44%, and we will, over the next 3 years, hope to increase that number to 50% of the organization being scientists, and the same with PhDs, as I've mentioned earlier, to provide an incentive that our staff continue with their studies, so that the number of PhDs within the organization can grow. The other measure that I think I can highlight that is, of course, very important, well, it two more than the previous slide, satisfied protégés. These are the young scientists that we bring in, that we mentor within the organization, and we monitor their levels of satisfaction closely, and the same with the percentage satisfied employees that we have within the organization, and we'll continue to do so. I'll quickly move to the programs that we have. There are 7 trusts within the organization, and I will just briefly, the geoscience mapping is still the core of what we do, and that information is then basically used within the environmental field, water, geohydrology, energy, engineering, mineral resource development, and the information and education trust that we have. All these areas rely ultimately on the data that we gather out in the field through our teams of geologists and geochemists and geophysicists and so on. This slide is a little bit misleading. What I can say is that by now all the maps, the red areas where it says map ready to print, those maps have been printed. The revised mapping has been completed. Those are the 2 blue blocks that you would see. So essentially the entire South Africa has now been covered at the scale of 1.25 million. When we get to the more high resolution type mapping, then of course it's a different picture, and I've shown this map before, where every year we will continue with a few of those maps, but it is essentially a fairly long process. We have provided the department with an outlook in terms of how many years it will take, at what sort of level of funding to complete this mapping, because certainly at the current level it will probably take the organization another 100 years before we can map the entire.
potential, and the two purplish colored blocks that you see are the two map areas that we have planned for this financial year 2012 and 13. The geotechnical mapping, we've been concentrating mostly around the larger areas, the cities in South Africa, the urban areas like Johannesburg, Pretoria, around Cape Town and so on. Again, we're in infancy and it will continue, the organization will continue for many years to complete the geotechnical mapping. This is where we look at soil stability, the occurrence of sands and clays and so on. Regional geochemical mapping, that over the years have come to a standstill and we only recently resuscitated this. And we've actually made some good progress in the last few years. And we'll continue to do so with the money that we've received under the economic competitiveness package. The airborne, South Africa is about 20% flown with high resolution airborne surveys. And again, as part of this 200 million allocation, we will continue to fly certain parts of South Africa. And we will briefly mention this area in the Tugela terrain in KwaZulu-Natal that we will, where we will focus some of our efforts in looking at the possible occurrence of gold and platinum and vanadium. It's really just a picture. In recent months, of course, there's been lots in the news and media about earthquakes and tsunamis, and there's also more emphasis in South Africa now on these particular geohazards. Eskom with its new nuclear new build program, of course, have a particular interest in this because the level of design for a nuclear power plant is to a great extent dictated by the level of seismicity and the exposure to earthquake hazard. And this is information that we continue to gather. Also for this program that we have with the Mine Health and Safety Council, in which we've now installed a large number of stations, and I will just get to that slide. I think that gives the picture better in terms of where we are right now. We've essentially, since we have last spoken here in February, the CGS has installed now approximately 50 stations. It will enhance the picture of mine seismicity over the next few months and next few years quite considerably. It will give us insight into the processes that lead to rock falls that I believe we've never had before. We have installed 25 stations around the Klerksdorp, Orkney, Stilfontein, Hartbeesfontein area. We've installed another 12 stations in the Central Basin area. 10 of those were done in collaboration with the Japanese government through JICA. And that is because of the interest, of course, in learning from the seismicity in our gold mines and applying it also to the problems that they have in Japan and in another 11 stations around the Klerksdorp area, far west that area. I've mentioned the Eskom new build project. We continue to work very closely with Eskom on this very important project. We are getting to a stage now where within this year we already will have some draft information about design for particular areas in South Africa for nuclear, new generation of nuclear power plants. And as I said, of course, a lot of that is depends on the geological terrain and the level of seismicity that may be experienced by the nuclear facilities. CGS has also been very active in terms of geological storage of CO2. As you know, CO2 is one of the greenhouse gases, and there is a long-term plan to capture CO2 and to store it, and the only place where we can store it in South Africa is in some of our basins, such as the Algoa Basin and the Zululand Basin, the Sonkele area. And the CGS is now moving beyond this. We very soon we will request our board to look at in this year that we create a center of excellence of within
2010, by 2017 they want to start a pilot plant. And the injection of CO2 into geological strata and the monitoring of the movement of CO2 in the geological areas will be a long-term project that the CGS sees itself playing an important role in. The strategic water management program, this is really a combination of water ingress project that we have with some of the other work that we're doing in the CGS. This is for the Department of Mineral Resources. And this is really just a summary of the recommendations that were made in the Interministerial Committee report. The CGS is now actively involved in executing this and of course implementing some of these recommendations. These are interim recommendations, activities that should happen while this work that continues, because this is a long-term project, as we're all aware of. And CGS will also this year go beyond the Wits Basin with this project into other areas like Mpumalanga, where we have similar problems of course in the coal mines. At this stage I would like Mr. Ramakwere to just briefly speak about the stimulation of investment in the minerals and energy sectors. This is the package, the economic competitiveness package funding that we received in National Treasury.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, all of the members. I just want to start looking at the mining exploration triangle, of which, if you look at the base, there we have three competitive environments, and which is very high risk. That's the area which normally is played by the geological family of an organization such as ours. And once we have limited the risk, that's when the junior mining companies come in doing grassroots exploration, and as they find that, and then advanced major mining companies come in, and then eventually we'll end up with a mine developed in the brownfields where an extension of the mine is taking place. And now, with the projects that we have, we are looking into reducing that risk. The other next slide, the other triangle just showing that the global exploration budget is just showing us once more where Africa used to be, and now Africa has gone down. It used to be 5%, and now we're at 3% as from 2009. Now the importance of this project is that job creation is very important. And now when we're looking at small mines, this way we look at 20 to 50 employees, and also these junior guys, small guys, find it difficult to go and start operating in an area where there's no geological information, and hence they need assistance from the geological survey to come to geophyte. And once we have a medium-sized light gold mine, we're looking at employing people between 400 and 500. Now the importance of the project is that we need to improve exploration and mining investment, as it is the problem we had in the budget speech where the minister was saying, and the honorable chairperson also reiterated. And also we need to look at job creation, poverty alleviation, tax rebate, infrastructure development, and beneficiation. We once more give you an example of what was said in Canada, is that for every $1 million which government spends in geoscience, it results in $5 million in exploration expenditure, and a discovery worth $125 million. And 50% of the amount spent in exploration is directly related to job creation. Now the project that we're looking at, as our acting CEO has already said, looking into a together basin where we'll be doing high-tech geophysics and also geochemical sampling, and then evaluating all the information to come up with potential targets which are going to test through. Now moving on to the next project with the Veredic and Olenek mines, that the one which we have 20 million rand for the next 3 years. This is a project which we have been doing for quite some time now, where we identified dangerous areas. For example, you can see in those two photographs where we've got deep holes very close to the human settlement, of which if a child just wanders away, easily disappear in the holes. And that's what we're doing, working together with MinTech, where we identify these problem areas and then come up with a strategy. speed of the potential contingency liability to the state, as the figures were being mentioned, we'll be refining them to make sure that we come to a closer estimate. Thank you.
And Chair, I will not dwell too long on this. As I mentioned, that I think the CGS is for the first time in many years getting it right in terms of the balance between our national responsibilities and some of the international work that we continue to do. And I've listed some of the countries where we work, and in some instances we've just completed some of this work. For instance, in Botswana, we've done a review on their geological survey and provided recommendations for a way forward for them. And then we continue to work in countries like Uganda, Namibia. We're working with the Japanese scientists in South Africa. We're working with a company called Mining, oh, I've forgotten the name now, 20 Mining Point or something like that in Sweden, on prospectivity mapping. And there are several tenders coming out, for instance in Tanzania and Angola, and the CGS will be closely following the development in those countries. We have also won the bid to host the International Geological Congress. I did speak about this in February. The time has moved on now. In Brisbane in August, the Australians will present the 54th IGC, and South Africa will take over as secretariat of the IGC at that stage, and that will then really take us into the final stretch to organize this this Congress 2016 in Cape Town. We're expecting around about 6,000-7,000 scientists to arrive for this, and it will really allow South Africa to showcase its not just its geology but also the expertise that we have in the country. Then on our last section, human capital, only a few slides that Ms. Mabuso will briefly speak about.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member. Our strategy on HR is anchored on the following pillars. These pillars flow directly from our strategic objectives, which we already discussed earlier on by Dr. Gunn. In particular, the need to attract and retain a skilled workforce, as well as the need to enhance present skills. In particular, secondly, to enhance the present levels of excellence, and one of our areas, which is investing in our the need to invest in our own people, that is the staff of the company which you're saying. Briefly, our strategy is anchored on the following pillars, that is the need to continue with transformation in the organization, as well as the retention of skills, specifically scientists, because that is our core business. The fast tracking of training of young scientists to make sure that we retain the skills of skilled scientists. Sorry about that. Under training, the problems that we currently have are the balance both for full-time and part-time students. In terms of the full-time, all our employees, already Dr. Graham has indicated that we do have scientists in the Council for Geoscience that actually benefit out of the balance to do their MSc and PhDs. The internship program that we actually continue to have, which is supported by MQA, our mentorship program, where it will make sure that there is a program where managers continue to mentor staff to make sure that there's a program to understand managers in, so that we maintain a pool of skills within the Council of Geoscience, as well as the geological mapping field school, which is located in Limpopo. figures there, we actually worked out the figures to show the numbers of staff that are studying part-time in terms of male and female. As you can see there, the graph shows that we have 27, out of which we have 11 males and 16 females. And then also there in terms of race, black, colored, white, and Asian, the figures are self-explanatory. In terms of the full-time buzzers that we fund, those are the figures down there, 14 in terms of male and female and black. We're still struggling there, as you can see, under colored and Asian, but we, colored, white, and Asian. But we do, we are working on progress, we have to progress to make sure that we actually attract those areas in which we are not doing well. On the last slide, the geological school that is actually operational in Limpopo, which started in 2005. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. That brings the CGS to the end of its presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, CGS. What we are going to do, honourable members, let's is the tea ready here? Hey. It's the cool drinks and the water that was not there in the morning. Let's see. But in any event, let's take body break and whilst checking whether the team is here or not. And then when we come back, we engage with the presentation. Let's take what? 5 to 10 minutes? Thank you. Ready. Thank you very much.